The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Been real, Bradfoe. We're just doing real radio as a couple of real dudes that are real fans. We're having an open, honest dialogue. And you said earlier.
Yeah.
You said, because this is a divisive point for me, both. I have no issue with it, but I know some people wish... When I was on the radio, hey, I wish you would just shut up and go away. A lot of people say, like, well, you know, like you sound like you're on a podcast. You bring a podcast sensible form because you don't stick to a lot of the rules. It doesn't sound like the classic, like, here's what I have to say. Here's my take. Let's get it to you. It's formatted. It's organized. I'm not going to do Hungry Man Radio. I'm with you. Like, I like just having a slightly more free form dialogue that kind of goes where most normal sports fans' dialogues go. And if you can follow along, or if that brings you comfort, then great. I hope it's for you. But I think that's the way things are going as well. I think the previously organized, structured nightly news form of broadcasting is a relic.
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing how much it's a relic. And to come back to what you're talking about today, behind the curtain, how many show prep texts did we do? Like one?
Tons.
Yeah, it was like, I'm like, yeah, the Netflix thing. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Because I was saying this to Jackson. It's not for everybody, but when I do the Saturday show, the Baseballs Are Boring show, we do it the vast majority of the baseball season. Those are 3 hours long, and I've never run out of stuff to talk about. And I know that a lot of people say, oh, it's baseball. Never run out of stuff to talk about. And that's the case right now. We're talking tattoos, banjos, saunas, and we're getting the meat and potatoes of the conversation from yesterday, which is honestly Netflix and football and a little bit of Celtics. And speaking of tattoos, and I'll go back to Netflix, the 6 degrees of separation, or the 2 degrees of separation from me and Netflix, Fitzy, we just uncovered Mr. Cartoon, who did my tattoo, right? You go to his Wikipedia page, not only the Modelo commercial. Cartoon has tattooed the bodies of Kobe Bryant, Dr. Dre, 50 Cent, Eminem, Christina Aguilera, Travis Barker, Pink, Justin Timberlake, and Beyonce. I'm the 2 degrees of separation between me and Netflix. Me and Beyonce both have gotten tattoos by the same person.
And I will say, though, that is an impressive body of work. The body of work he was probably most impressed by was seeing that gun that you pulled out that you call your left bicep.
I powered through it. And people say this. I don't know, Jackson, maybe you aren't the best person to ask about this, because, once again, your tattoos are done with, like, a rusty spoon and some barbed wire. But people have different – when I went in to do this, and this is my first and only tattoo, because, Fitzy, that's another part about this. It's the Baseball's a Boring tattoo. It means a lot to me. We did it with Joe Kelly. It was agreement if the Dodgers won the World Series. But when you have it done by someone you can't get another one unless it's done by him, which I'm not going to ask him to do. But I go into it and I'm like, will this hurt? And I heard, and I didn't realize, like, it actually did hurt. It did hurt.
especially where you got it, because that skin is very sensitive.
Well, nobody told me that.
Yeah, that's also some thin skin around there.
Yeah, well, nobody told me that. I mean, but it was, you fight through the pain to get the glory.
It's painful, but it's just more annoying than really painful, right? A little bit of painful.
But
what was the time, Bradford? How long did it take?
It was, for me, so mine's a little bit smaller than Joe's tattoo. It was
a tattoo.
Yeah, believe me, I'm a pro. It was just over an hour, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad.
We were there for like 6 hours. So I flew out, Fitzy, and you tell me if there's any sort of correlation or example of something that you would do. Because you, Fitzy, you and I are of the same ilk. We like to have fun, right? Mm-hmm. We like to do things just because maybe we do things. And God bless my wife. Oh, my goodness. She lets me do things like fly to Chicago to film something with D.B. Sweeney of 8 Men Out to do my Hall of Fame ballot reveal, where it costs us a bunch of money, but we get no money in exchange, just the experience. She allows me to fly across the country for 19 hours to Los Angeles to get a tattoo and fly back. Like, is there anything that you would want to do in that vein? Maybe it's a tattoo. I don't know. But maybe if you could say, put it this way, I know. If you said, Fitzy, you can fly across the country and you have a 15-minute sit-down with Tom Brady.
Yep.
Would you do it?
Oh, done deal.
Really?
If so long as the questions could be open-ended, it could be a two-way street where I could ask him the questions I would have wanted to always ask during my rabid fandom and when I laid my, you know, built a shrine to him, which helped me cobble together this oddball, unique career. And then in return, he could say, what the hell is wrong with you? And why would you don't dedicate your life, you know, to another guy you had never met prior to this moment? Because, you know, I've spoken to him on the radio,
yeah, but I'm still
never met him in person.
Yeah. And I'm not even talking about doing something that's on the record, filmed or anything else. Right. This is just hanging out like you. Like, okay, I left at my flight out of Boston to Los Angeles was 7:45 a.m.
Yep.
I flew out of Los Angeles the next morning, I think at about 7. I'm sorry, it was 10:45. I got into Los Angeles, and the next day I left at 7:30 a.m. Something along those lines. Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, that's a hell of a turn and burn. I thought you were going to say you did a red eye so that you landed.
No. But my point is that to sit down with Tom Brady and just talk and say, hey, listen, do you feel awkward in this broadcast doing it with all these handcuffs on you? Do you, you know, what plastic surgery have you gotten? What happened to Malcolm Butler? Like all of these things that would be worth a trip across the country for 15 minutes.
What
yes?
would you? Yeah. What would you say to Bernard Pollard if you could see him face to face right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Considering that he took away your 2008 and also took out Wes Welker, and also took out Gronk heading into Super Bowl 46. You know, all those things. Yeah. So, what did you think? What do you want to say to Dean Pease, the same way Randy Moss used to troll him for calling a zero blitz on the Plaxico Burress touchdown that won Super Bowl 42?
Stop right there, because I want to do this after the segment. So for me, if you said, what would you fly out to Los Angeles for 19 hours to get a tattoo for? It was exactly what I did, which was the preeminent tattoo artist doing this tattoo that means a lot to me. Okay, so what I want you to do is give me the 5 questions, and maybe you rattle off some of them, but I'm going to give you time to think about it. Okay. If I said, I'm buying you a plane ticket to go out to see Tom Brady, mm-hmm. Fitzy, the biggest Tom Brady supporter there is, the guy we talk about, the launching pad, the T-shirt gun for sports fandom in so many ways. Well, Tom Brady for Fitzy is that guy. Mm-hmm. You have 15 minutes to ask him 5 questions. What would they be? And while you think about this, let's go to Nick in Dover. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Hey, guys. Let me take you off. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey,
yes,
Nick.
Sir.
Hey, thanks. This is like a dream show this morning, hearing you two on the radio. And I just want to say, I got like a million things on my mind. But the one thing, when I heard your voice, Bradford, no offense, Fitzy, but when I heard you on the radio this morning, so I got to call in today because I'm hoping that you might have somebody, a righty big bat is what I really need to maybe play first or DH. But I can't stand looking at the Google when I open it in my phone. There's a million trade rumors,
mm-hmm.
and it's got me on overload. I can't focus on one player. I just want to hear from each of you, who's that one guy? That one guy. I was really hoping he was going to come Christmas morning. But who's going to play first, and who's going to DH for the Red Sox this year?
All right. Well,
there we go.
Thank you, Nick. I'm gonna hold that thought. We're gonna do two things after the break.
Okay.
We're going to reveal what player you think the Red Sox, because you know we haven't talked Red Sox at all, but that's okay. Red Sox, if you could say that is the player that you want, a realistic player that maybe they are targeting that you want, they say that is the guy that you want the Red Sox to get that will make it a successful offseason. And as I said before, I'm buying a plane ticket for Fitzy. I'm selling his sauna in order. Oh my goodness! Speaking of first guest that you're gonna have in the sauna podcast.
Oh hell yeah!
Tom Brady. Come on, let's go.
Fitzy and Brady together.
How does that not happen? The five questions that Fitzy would ask Brady. We got to get to all of that, but first we're gonna trend.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Chiefs took down the Steelers last night, 29-10, behind three Patrick Mahomes touchdowns. The Ravens, they played Krampus to the Texans as they demolished them 31-2.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
I take the criticism and I run.
That's not criticism.
No, you know, the...
No, we're just evolving.
Yes.
It's the time of year to evolve.
You got that right. Celtics lose a close one to the 76ers, 118-114. Jason Tatum had a double-double with 32 points and 15 rebounds. They will have the Pacers at the Garden tomorrow night at 7:30. Get a new Subaru during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event, and Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity, SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
In California,
all right.
Five in Arizona.
All banjo rejoins. Thanks to Jackson. Jackson getting a banjo for Christmas. Congratulations,
yes.
Jackson. Will you go home and play that banjo?
I will absolutely do that, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
By yourself?
I mean, my fiance will be there somewhere probably.
You have her as your audience?
Yeah. And my cats.
Wow. Fitzy, what an aphrodisiac that is, isn't it? I mean, come on.
And my cats.
Yep. And that song just brings everything together, banjo, and it's called Bluegrass Radio, and we're doing radio. Steve Martin.
Which we're moving
now
forward.
I was just, it was funny you say that, because Bradfoe, we've gone all this time talking banjos, saunas, and everything else on the mind of the rabid diehard Boston sports fan on our iteration of the Greg Hill Show this morning, and we had not yet mentioned maybe the most famous banjo player in America, that being Steve Martin, who I have seen play banjo live twice, and I gotta tell you, it is a take. Holy smokes, is he good. He and his band are just out of this world.
So he may own, I was trying to do some research, he may own, we talk about the most, the biggest following of any Instagram account that's banjo related. Steve Martin probably has it, because I couldn't find anyone else over 8,000 followers.
Yeah, me too, yep. I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly difficult instrument to play.
It really is. It's not easy.
It's also incredibly difficult to have an Instagram account, evidently, a popular one. So, all right, well, we promise. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Nick Fitzy Stevens. That's Jackson behind the glass. We're going to be with you all the way up until 10 o'clock. KJ and Lyons takes over, and we had promised we don't pay off in the promise. The first thing is we'll get out of the way, because they were asking, because he was such a nice caller. Who would the Red Sox? Who do you want the Red Sox to get? Fitzy, you can go first. Go ahead.
Who do I want the Red Sox to get? Oh, I have been all.
Well, that would make it a successful offseason for you.
At this point now, the way that they've added to the pitching depth, and what this organization's love of buying people off Tommy John is, I have no idea. I'm sure there's a reason why they love the Hendricks and now the Sandovals and even the Walker Buehlers, although I love that signing, Bradfoe, for the record. I think that is a great deal. I'm like everyone else. Chicks dig the long ball. Well, you know, Schvitzy loves a good, you know, right-handed power bat at Fenway Park. What's stopping them from going 3-for-75 with Teoscar Hernandez?
I don't know.
Isn't it just to make too much sense? It's right there
face. Learn your lesson from a year ago where Teoscar Hernandez looks into the baseballs and boring camera. It was a one-camera shoot that day. So he looked into the camera and said, without me even asking, said, yeah, the Red Sox offered 2 at 28, and I wanted 3.
Yep.
And it wouldn't pay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. okay, now, all right, you didn't do it. Now you have to pay the price. But paying the price is, I agree with you. It's okay. It's okay. You have to get uncomfortable to get players that you actually think will help you win. And by the way, you're in a spot now where you have these guys, you've allocated resources to win. To mm-hmm. win.
Win.
You pay to win the game, and you play yes. to win the game. And so this, they're in, much like they were in position last year, and they didn't take advantage of it, of a tremendously flawed Yankees team.
Mm-hmm.
You are in a position now where if you get this piece that we're talking about or pieces that you're talking about, you can be in position to actually win the World Series or be in the World Series. And by the way, that is good for business. That is ultimately good for business. Don't look at talk about 20-1, 30-1, whatever it is, John Henry, in the Financial Times.
Mm-hmm.
As I think Zach Scott, former GM of the Mets, former Red Sox employee, came on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast and said this. He said, sometimes these owners lose sight, or GMs lose sight, that how impactful winning the World Series can be. And I think that's what we're talking about. It's not sustainability. It's not winning trades by 75, 80%. So that said, the guy for me is the guy who I surfaced the day after Soto signed, and mm-hmm. I have got my head around it more than ever, and that's Bregman. And here's the reason why.
Really? Still?
Yeah, okay. Because here's the reason why, Fitzy. If you said to me at the beginning of the offseason, oh, Alex Bregman, they're in on Bregman, I'm like, eh, you know, I had a bad year last year. It's probably on the other side of his career, everything else. But the more that you look into it, the more that you look at, like, what this team needs – it's like he checks off too many boxes. And what I'm talking about is I think he had a bad year last year. In large part, he had bone chips. You talk to people, the bone chips in it were really, really bad to the point where they almost had to have him play first base. So I'm going to chalk that up to him being bad or not as good last year. And also, I think he's still a very, very good player. I think he can play a position that they need, second base, even though he hasn't played it a lot. But listen, Trevor Story didn't play second base, and he was awesome there. I think it's the same sort of idea. But almost most importantly to me, Fitzy, along with being a good player, is having an adult in a room, having a 30-something position player who the minute he walks into that clubhouse is a leader on that team. Why you have all these other guys. And I do think in this day and age, that's really, really, really important. Yes, you have to have stars. You have to have the Freddie Freemans and Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtanis of the world. I get that. But you also have to have the guys in that clubhouse who have done it before, who know the path to do it. And Justin Turner was sort of that way, but mm-hmm. he was.
Oh, he definitely was.
Right.
I wanted them to trade back for him because, A, he had a career year for the Red Sox the year prior, and B, an adult, somebody like Rafi Devers does not want to be the spokesman for the team. Trevor Story is too injured, and I don't want to thrust that much responsibility onto Jaron Duran's lap because, like, when he's running right, he's one of the most dynamic players in baseball, but we've seen that he's still having some issues, and there are some volatile moments.
Well, I think, and that was the problem, and where they were putting cart before the horse when it came to Jaron Duran. It was almost like they started trying to pigeonhole the Rafi Devers face of the franchise thing. If you go back to the quotes,
that ain't it. Yeah.
There was a lot of that. And then finally, ultimately, they just say, hey, he doesn't want to be the face of franchise. But you know who's going to be a leader because he plays every day, because he plays hard, because he's good and everything else? It's Jaron Duran. It's like, no. It's like Jaron Duran, it's maybe someday, but don't put cart before the horse here.
He's not ready. He's not ready yet. Someone else has to walk so he can run.
And when it comes to and what the in between Justin Turner and Jaron Duran is Alex Bregman, a guy who's still, if he's healthy, still an elite player, I think, above average player, a player that you think can have a really good chance at making the All-Star team. Mm-hmm. And also, the minute everyone you talk to, the minute he walks in that room, he gives the right vibe. And for this team that has so much young talent, and you've invested a lot of that young talent to get a Garrett Crochet, like, okay, it's okay, now you get the 30-somethings. Now you get the 30-somethings. So there you go. That's my guy.
I don't know. Okay.
And if the Yankees,
I get that.
And I will say this, Fitzy, if if later today or tomorrow or the next day, because I know that Detroit is really, really going after him aggressively. So if you get beat out for a guy that you want, and I know they want him, the guy that you want in Alex Bregman, by A, Detroit, or B, the Yankees, then shame on you. Shame on you. Because if you want him, get him. Like, that's, it's the Dombrowski way. If you want him, get him.
Bradfo, isn't it that they want to? They don't want to go longer than five. He wants seven, and they won't split the difference at six.
Sure, but all I'm saying is that if wherever the Yankees or the Tigers land, right, for Alex Bregman, especially the Yankees, let's be honest with you. Like, if the Tigers want to do this Padres Bogarts thing, so be it.
Yeah, then forget that. Forget it. That's bad business.
Yeah, that's bad business. Okay. But if the Yankees, if you lose him to the Yankees, because what you have to pay for, what you're paying for Alex Bregman isn't just the player, isn't just the player that you think is going to be good playing second base for you.
Right.
But it's the clubhouse guy. And also, if he goes to the Yankees, it's double. It's a double whammy. It just is. I mean, you have, there isn't a counter move that you're going to make, much like you made Crochet with Mac Fried. You are going to lose him to the Yankees, and you have just made the Yankees the undeniable favorites, where if you signed the guy, you would have been in that position. So,
right, which is why you know, Juan Soto leaving the Yankees, while, you know, there was disappointment for some, though I never thought there was a chance Juan Soto was going to the Red Sox. But it was still a win for them, because your division rival just got weaker. Now, I think they picked up 75% of what Soto would give them for a year or two in Cody Bellinger, who's probably going to rake at that cartoonishly short porch at Yankee Stadium 2.0. But that was a loss for the Yankees. And if you're serious about playing for the now, which they were, because they traded the prospect I was most excited to see, Kyle Teal, for Garrett Crochet, then don't just go half measure. Go all the way. Now you've invested in a reclamation project, albeit an expensive one, who just delivered in the postseason, in Walker Buehler. You want to see what Roman Anthony and Abreu and everyone else can do when you call them up, sure. But you need a right-handed bat that I can guarantee is going to have more than 250 swings. I'm not putting any stock in how much money they spent on Trevor Story years ago, Bradfo. I'm not. He cannot, like, and show me, don't tell me, that he can actually get a full season healthy.
I want to go back to Netflix, because Netflix has been mentioned multiple times.
Right.
They're getting
their tires pumped on this show.
Well, I mean, thank goodness they needed something, right?
Yeah, I guess the perfect couple made them enough money to really be able to blow it out yesterday.
I almost rewatched The Tiger King the other day, but I couldn't bring myself to it. But you go back to Netflix. So the 2004 Netflix documentary on the Red Sox, which was pretty good. But my biggest takeaway, not even close, Fitzy, was the dynamic of the ownership, of how ownership approached everything, about how there was, we are not going to let the Yankees win. We are not, whatever it takes. And go back to it, Folk and Schilling and trying to get A-Rod. There was that mindset of the ownership. And I understand we talk about evolved. It just has evolved. They have different interests and everything else. But that's what we can't forget about, hey, you know, this isn't about price points. This isn't about winning signings. This is about beating the team that you have to beat. That's what it was like. Didn't you get that same vibe?
Oh, I got the I had not felt the live and die nature of waking up every day, listening to the radio, reading the Globe, not missing a game, and if so, checking the box score first thing when you wake up, like I did when I watched the comeback, because that immediacy. It's almost like, Bradfo, you can't say this, but it's almost like you'd want to say, geez, winning four World Series the last 25 years is the worst thing that happened to this organization. Because now it feels like complacency has set in to a degree that they just want a competent, competitive, profitable asset, and not they want the team that'll be the best in baseball no matter what the cost
is. It comes back to the word I've worn out. It comes back to being uncomfortable. This is the price of doing business. Brian Cashman of the Yankees has no problem getting uncomfortable. You can say his ups and downs in this unbelievably long tenure as the guy who's run the Yankees for years upon years, but still, you look at what he's done the last 2 years. He went out and got Soto 1 year, traded a bunch, a crap load of guys. You went up and get Verdugo for a year. year. You went for it, and you made it to the World Series. You almost won the World Series, and because you went for it, and now you go after Soto. All right, you don't get Soto. What you do is you offer more than anyone for Max Fried. You get uncomfortable getting Cody Bellinger, a guy you want. You get uncomfortable in trading for Devin Williams. You and this is what I'm talking about. And for what Red Sox, yeah, you checked off the box of getting uncomfortable for trading prospects. And Fitzy, that's not easy for these GMs to do. They don't want to trade these guys. I get it. They don't want to trade your guy Kyle Teal or Braden Montgomery. I get it. But another level of this, which we haven't seen since Dombrowski left, which is if you want to get in the free agent business, it's not Patrick Sandoval or not 1 year with Joaquin Buehler. If you want to get in the free agent business for a guy like Bregman or a guy like Teoscar Hernandez, you can't set a price point. You have to say, we are going to take advantage of the market as long as we can, and then we're going to get uncomfortable and pay more than we really, really want to. That's it.
Yeah, Bradfo, I would like to upgrade my car. I've been driving the same car, which has performed wonderfully for me for 6 years, and I have to always say nice things about it because I don't want it to break down somewhere between the Merritt Parkway and the Mass Pike on me anytime soon. Anytime I go looking at new cars, I experience massive sticker shock because I've had the same car for so long now. It's like, wait, people pay how much for a car? And I realize that's how business gets done. What am I going to do? Just continue buying other people's old broken down cars, living frugally the rest of my life? No, if I want to have a pleasant driving experience with Bluetooth in my car and a heated seat, I'm going to have to pay a premium. That's how business gets done. And the Red Sox need to act and respond the same way.
Did your wife buy a sauna missing a board? Or maybe she did. We don't know. It hasn't been delivered yet.
But yeah, it actually just comes with a bunch of old Amazon boxes and a Bic lighter, and you just have to light. Yeah, and you have to like funnel the smoke out of there, and that's how you keep the room warm.
Believe me, I've gone down that road. I've tried buying boats. It doesn't work. Just pay the money. Just pay the money. Get the
two happiest days when you buy it, or when you're a boat owner, the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
Yeah, get the good sauna, get the good player. All right, we promise that we're going to get the Fitzies, because my gift to Fitzy is that I am buying him a plane ticket to go talk to Tom Brady for 15 minutes, and he can ask anything he wants. All right,
so five questions.
We're going to get to those five questions after the break. First, we're going to take this. Jack, do you know the difference between a harmonica and a banjo?
Yeah, there's a banjo in this.
Hey, you know, Fitzy, I'm Rob Bradford. That's Fitzy Stevens.
See, listen.
It's a banjo, my friend.
I don't hear it. So in case anyone is wondering, Jackson got a banjo for Christmas. And because we're all about evolving and moving forward and thinking about the next big thing, of course, we're talking about how the banjo community is going to impact the music industry and society as a whole over the next 2025. So that was where that spawned from, where we have banjo rejoins. And now I get Fitzy, I mean, next level, 2025, year of the harmonica, right? Correct?
Everyone, like, the ukuleles are so 2022.
Yes. Whatever
they had a moment.
Whatever you're playing in that sauna of yours, that's what's going to be popular. So
it's got to be small enough. Also, you don't want any brass in there, so you burn your lips.
One's up top. This has been the Greg Hill Show, and we have John Lyons here. Yeah,
Bradford.
All right,
the Lyons Den. Yeah,
Lyons Den. KJ and Lyons. So a little behind the scenes. So John was doing a show with Dan Ball.
Yeah, Christmas Eve.
Dan Ball, Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I was driving around enjoying it quite a bit, and I texted Ken, I said, how is there not a segment? What did I say, balls to the wall?
Yes.
I mean, Fitzy, come on. Actually, my first one was something else, but it was balls to the wall, and then next thing you know, Ken's like, do a balls to the wall segment. Poor kid, man.
We put it together last minute. Yeah. We got it done.
It was like how he hates getting Christmas cards.
Oh, he hates getting Christmas cards, by the way, so don't ever send him one or a Christmas letter.
Yeah, so, so we call whenever John's on now the Lion's Den because I suggested a segment to Ken saying that, we should have, John come out with his roaring hot takes, or maybe he does his own solo show, and we call it the Lion's Den.
Yes.
So now I'm glad that's caught on, and I love giving free IP away to the station and not even getting a 99 gift card in return. Now for Dan Ball, I mean, there are so many ways. Whenever he has miscues, we have to call that ball gag. His loose thoughts on things, that's free balling.
I was going to say, my first text was balls out.
Yeah.
Like that absolutely. But balls to the wall was more a little bit PG. Yeah. And I think he workshopped it.
And then we got a group text from Ken, Dan, and I that was like, Bradfo suggested this segment. I like it. And in my mind, I'm like, Dan's a new guy. I've only been here a year and a half myself. I'm like, we don't have enough credence to not do that. We have to do it now. And we put it together on the fly. You know, when a man who flew across the country to get a tattoo suggests that you do a segment.
What would you do? Would you do? So this is, we're going to get to Fitzy's list. I bought a plane ticket for Fitzy to fly across the country. He has 15 minutes with Tom Brady to ask him five questions, anything he wants, not on camera. So it's not going to be documented, but I'm going to ask him what those questions would be. But John Lyons, what would you do? Would you do that? Would you do something like that?
You want to know what my question for Brady would be?
No. Well,
I can tell you right now.
Okay. Well, first, before you, do you have any tattoos?
More importantly, no, I don't.
You don't. Would you get a tattoo?
Nah, not really my thing.
No.
I'm not like anti-tattoo.
If you had the Michelangelo of tattoo artists saying, if you fly across the country.
Or, some would say the Rob Bradford.
The person who also.
You're not going to get any endorsement deals.
I don't think Mr. Cartoon.
Don't ruin my narrative.
I don't think Mr. Cartoon needs to advertise on Baseballs and Boring.
It's not really my thing.
I didn't think it was my thing.
Again,
either.
I'm not anti-tattoo. It's not my thing.
Bill O'Brien said the same thing, and then he told us he got the greatest gift of all time.
Yeah, the Larry Bird basketball.
By the way,
that Bill O'Brien interview segment each week, one of my favorite segments on this station every week. He's awesome.
He could host a show.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he
I believe
host.
He does host
And he
a
does
show.
The coach's show right on 850.
Yeah, actually, Ken and Mike have reached out to him to see if he would fill in during the holidays, but he blamed the bowl game.
Yeah. Spoiler, I didn't want to reveal this yet, but he will be doing the March 17th spring training game with me on 850. I don't know.
Let's go.
All right. So let's get to it. Fitzy, John, I want to get yours, but let Fitzy go first.
Of course.
Okay?
Okay.
So, Fitzy, I've flown you out on Spirit Airlines. You have to pay for the water. But you got there.
No, I'm raw dogging. I'm just staring straight ahead for 6 hours with nothing, Bradford.
Exactly. So five questions. You have five questions. You're sitting down with Tom Brady, not taped, off the record. What are you asking him?
Okay, I'm going to get personal. This is my time with Tom Brady, 15 minutes. First question, when did you first become aware of me in my Tom Brady webcast, and what did you think when you first saw it?
Fair. Okay. Fair. Good.
He's probably going to say 2007, and the first thing I said was, who's this effing creep? Get a life.
All
and
right.
I'd live with that. At least I would finally be acknowledged. I would feel seen, Bradfo, as the kids
That's all
like
you
to
want.
Say.
You want it, yeah. Okay. And you don't want to go right into it with the first question. You don't want to... You want to ease into it a little bit. So,
yeah.
Good job.
I've already asked him, like, what was your greatest throw? What was your greatest play? What's your favorite sports movie? So we've softballed him up. Now, question number two. Okay, honestly, why didn't Belichick play Malcolm Butler in Super Bowl 52? I have to get down to it. And if I have to take it to my grave, I at least deserve to know. Number three. Okay, now we'll get into the games. Change one play you made over the course of your career in New England. What would it be? Any one decision Tom Brady made as a player for the New England Patriots.
Okay. Not like on X banana waggle right.
Maybe he decides not to go deep to Randy Moss in Super Bowl 42. Maybe he decides to hit Welker up the gut for 25 so they can try to get in range for a game-tying Gostkowski 60-yard field goal as opposed to going for all the marbles.
Okay. All right, guys. It was that four?
That's three. All right, question number four.
Go ahead.
Who did you pay to deflate the balls?
And
do you think it really cares?
All right.
And question number five. This barely beat out Is Die Hard a Christmas Movie and Is a Hot Dog a Sandwich? Like me, do you blame Tara Reid for your missing the playoffs in 2002?
Oh, man.
Thank you, Tom. He's been listening this entire time. You didn't know.
Because you gotta have a little fun with it. You gotta make it unique, and you also have to show the depth of your knowledge of his career. Because Brady does love having his tires pumped a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So I would say this. Let's just be real. Is that I'm going down the Tara Reid Avenue. What other celebrity have you dated that people don't know about? Right?
Are you asking Fitzy or are you asking
both,
Brady?
Both, absolutely.
Yeah, well, just wondering.
Who would what celebrity would you invite into your sauna? And
that's a good one. Okay, Tom, you can tell me who outside of obviously the Moynihans and the Giselles and everybody, like who did you hook up? Like what celebrity did you hook up with that we don't know about?
That's a good one. That's
you know who's Brady's favorite celebrity hookup is?
His next one?
The next one. Okay. Yeah.
I've spent enough time in the lion's den to know where you were going with that one, John. What if Brady's like, after Giselle and I broke up, there was just a hot, sweaty night on the set of 80 for Brady.
This is like the Howard Stern thing, right? Like what?
Yeah.
There was a period where he talked like, what happened there? Like what happened?
Right.
What happened? Anyway, all right, John Lyons, what you got any of those?
Ask Brady?
No. You had one, right? You had one definitive question that you would ask Brady. Yeah. It wasn't one of those.
Yeah. Can you come back? Come on. Like, isn't that
fair?
The most obvious? Like, come on, man. Yeah. I would want to know, along the line of Fitzy's, you know, what's the one play you take back? He mentioned deep to Moss. How about that deep interception of Gronkowski in Super Bowl 46, you know? Mm.
Jeff with Chase Blackburn in coverage.
Substitute teacher picked it off. He really was. He was a substitute teacher that year, and he came back to play for the Giants.
Well, also, Bradfo, would it be interesting now that Brady is in the analytical portion of his career, what if you asked him, now you can change one non-Malcolm Butler decision Bill Belichick made over the course of your Patriots tenure, what would it be? For me, simple.
Letting him go?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. One of the most sneaky, underrated, terrible decisions by Belichick. Final game of the 2015 season.
That's a good
deciding
one
to go with that stupid Steven Jackson run-heavy attack. That they fell behind against Miami, blew home field advantage, and then, of course, you have Von Miller dragging his equipment bag across Brady's face in the AFC Championship when Gostkowski misses the extra point. That game, to me, as contemptible as benching Butler.
That Steven Jackson game plan game was not on Josh McDaniels' LinkedIn page. Let me ask you this before we go, because I woke up this morning and I said, I'm going to save this until 9:55. Who would be better right now? Right now, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Tom Brady. Yeah.
Really?
Like today. Yeah, Brady's, when was the last time he played 2022? He'd be better right now.
Wow. Did you see the?
He's probably still healthier than Rodgers.
Did you guys watch the Aaron Rodgers doc?
Enigma?
Because we haven't talked about Netflix enough.
No.
I know. As my dad used to always say, Bradfo, oh man, I can't wait to not watch that.
I watched the whole thing.
How was it?
It was, you know, it was an infomercial for Aaron Rodgers, which is the worst, right?
Jeez.
Which is the worst. Anyway, we solved a lot of the world's problems today. Now it's KJ and Lyons' turn to pick up the mantle, which he'll do excellently.
Yeah.
So
can't wait. We're going to talk to Jeremy Springer, Mike Onwenu today, too.
Awesome.
Nice. Show. Springer's a great chat, John. He really is. High energy guy. Really fun to talk.
Can you also, this is your gift to me, can you call up Dan Ball and do a balls to the wall segment over the phone?
You know what? Maybe we'll do that.
I want it.
Maybe
please do
we
that.
Will. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
could you do me a favor in the future? Please text Ken more work for me to do while I'm on the air.
I got to be honest. I was not expecting he would execute
that. That's okay.
It was a good idea.
I will say it was a good. No, it worked out well. We had a good segment.
I'm not putting that on my Wikipedia page yet. So, yeah.
You should put it right below the tattoo. Came up with balls to the wall.
My good friend and tattoo partner, Beyonce, wouldn't approve of that. No.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, hey, Fitzy, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Bradfo never felt like work for a single minute of all 4 hours.
It's good. And Jackson, thank you for you being you.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
In so many ways. Congratulations on the banjo and all the bruises and the tattoos.
I'll see you in the sauna.
Yeah, and thank you to Bill O'Brien. Thank you for Jelani Tavai. And thank you for everybody for listening. I hope everybody has a great, great day. KJ and Lyons coming up. I'll be back tomorrow with Mego. Have a great day.